So, Ruth, we've just been talking about loving leadership, and I'm just interested in a couple of examples. One of good loving leadership that you've experienced, and one of less good. What would be your story?
My story of really good loving leadership would be Dame Geraldine Keegan, who ran a school in Northern Ireland. When she took it over, it was run by nuns for nuns, and she decided to transform it into a school and prepare all girls, whichever denomination, for working life. And very high levels of deprivation in Londonderry. Kids who commonly, would not have any educational advantage went to her school and got a first-class education, and she dedicated herself to that. Her whole life was around that school. But she did it in a completely non-sentimental, non-judgmental, not making judgments about the families or the children, or indeed the nuns who were previously working in the school who came to love her dearly. But she was very remorseless in her approach. She took a view that school was there for the benefit of the children, not for the benefit of the staff. And she inculcated a philosophy of the child first in that school, which is amazing. Stood by the gates in the morning to welcome the students, but also to make sure that all the nuns were there on time. She had discipline in that school. It was the power of example. It was her commitment and her passion. And she would not take less than brilliant, ever. So it was the maximum ability of the child. Wouldn't always have the same ability range or the same ability to move up the scale, but to really maximise the potential of each child. And she had a personal relationship with each one of them and with their parents.
Fantastic.
And it was very moving and also brilliant, sustaining that over many years and then handing it on to a whole team that are now carrying forward the Dame Geraldine experience.
Brilliant.
Which I was very impressed by.
Lovely. And what about your experience of the consequences of a lack of loving leadership? Because you've experienced a lot of different leaders and firms. So would you give a story of the lack of loving leadership and the consequences of it?
Well, I think lack of loving leadership comes in when there's no personal passion or involvement or engagement. And I think my story would be where you've got pretty much what I would call paid civil servants running, trying to run services that are, are by remote control, for which they have no real passion or commitment. They're just doing a budgeting job. They're just doing a box-ticking job. And I felt with, for example, running Investors in People, that it was my baby. But it was very difficult to work with the reins of government around it. So we created some space between ourselves and the government. That was the way we managed to run it. But I always felt there wasn't that passion and commitment from the civil service. They didn't understand it. They didn't even want to understand it. They didn't try to understand it. They never visited an Investor in People organisation. They didn't understand, what it actually meant to an organisation to really value its people. And because of that, they never gave me that wholehearted commitment that I think you need from a leadership team. So for me, it's about if you're going to run something, you've got to be part of it. You can't sit in some judgmental position, looking down on something or even standing aside from it. If you're going to run something, you need to be really part of its organic growth and really understand it. That way, you've got some hope of actually taking it forward. But as long as you've got this sort of purchaser-provider split, with somebody in some civil service department is supposed to be running something, but by remote control, then I think you've got the worst of all possible worlds, and you've got potentially things being funded that are not worthwhile, equally things that are being funded, but we're not getting the real value from them. And I think that is going to bedevil government when it's doing its purchasing of public provision, service provision in the social care sector. If you don't understand what it is, the dynamics of what it is you're trying to deliver, then you can't really commission properly, you can't really run the thing properly.
Thank you, Rishti. Fantastic.